This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The educational institution we know as Bowie State University celebrates its 150th anniversary this year. The university started as a one-room schoolhouse in Baltimore right after the Civil War. And over 15 decades, it has evolved into a university of close to 6,000 students. In a few minutes, we'll learn some of its early history and why it moved from Baltimore to Bowie from archivist Katie Hayes, who's with me in the studio. First, let's hear from a woman who lived part of Bowie State's history, Beatrice Payne. She graduated from Bowie in 1928. Producer Jonna McCone and I visited Mrs. Payne a couple of weeks ago.
I am Beatrice Payne, and I am 105 years old. I grew up in Baltimore County. My father was a truck farmer, which meant that he raised vegetables and every Saturday took them into Bel Air Market to sell. So my experience as a youngster was in the country. I climbed trees, I rode horseback, I played with the animals. I did all of the things that a little country girl would do and more. If I would remember correctly, we had about 30 children. And those 30 children were in 8 grades. It was Hartley's Elementary School. That was a one-room school. We went from first grade to the 8th grade. And as a result of that, when I went to Bowie, instead of entering freshman, I entered second year high. My father's youngest brother was a teacher. In fact, he was my teacher at the Hartley Elementary School. And when it was time to make a decision as to what I should do after school, he suggested that I go to Bowie. I was hoping that it would lead me to teaching. Many of the family members in my family were teachers, and I thought that was just wonderful, and so I wanted to be a teacher. I had to complete my high school education first, and I did that, which was 3 years of high school training at Bowie. And by that time, they had created the normal school at Bowie, which was 2-year teaching training. And so when I finished the 3-year high, I went right back to Bowie for 2-year normal, where I would be training to be a teacher.
That's Beatrice Payne, who graduated from Bowie Teachers College 87 years ago. Katie Hayes can tell us more of the story. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila.
For the past 5 years, you've been looking through old yearbooks, photographs, newspaper stories as part of your efforts to organize the university's archives. Help us understand the backstory here. Walk us through how Bowie State got started as a school in Baltimore City several decades before Beatrice Payne went there.
Well, at the end of the Civil War, the state of Maryland had simultaneously liberated all enslaved peoples in Maryland and adopted a new state constitution, and that included the ability to tax citizens and provide free public education for everyone. Now, of course, education was not integrated then, and it was not explicitly allowed for African-American residents. And so there were groups of businessmen, lawyers, clergymen who had been abolitionists and then emancipationists, what they called emancipationists then during the Civil War, who kind of publicly lobbied for support of African-American education, which was not something that they could accomplish on the public level. But so they formed a group called the Baltimore Association for the Moral and Educational Improvement of Colored People. And this group decided to collect funds and provide for the education of African-Americans. And one of the schools that they founded, and they had many schools throughout the state of Maryland within the 6 years that they existed, but one of them was in a building called Crane's Building in downtown Baltimore in the northwest corner of Calvert and Saratoga. And this had been the site of a former African Baptist church. So they started collecting funds through donations, through Quaker meetings all up and down the East Coast, and many Northeastern Freedmen's Associations to provide payment for teachers to start schooling and creating a codified education for African Americans.
And so was it focused on elementary students or high school, or were those distinctions not even made?
Yeah, there wasn't really a distinction, because before emancipation nationally, it was considered illegal to educate enslaved people, so any kind of education was what they were seeking. There was no level at this point. In fact, education itself was not standardized until much later.
So how long did the school stay in downtown Baltimore?
I believe until it moved up to Bowie.
Which was when?
The land was purchased in 1908, and the school itself opened in 1911.
And why? Do you have any idea why it moved to rural Prince George's County from urban
Baltimore? Yeah, I can only guess. I mean, some of the attractions were that it was centrally located. It was designed to attract students from all over. There was a railroad line right there, so students could get there from Washington, from Baltimore, and from Southern Maryland, which had a huge African-American population because of the agricultural nature of the state.
What had it been called in Baltimore, and what was it called when it moved to Bowie?
After it was called the Baltimore Normal School for Colored Teachers, it became the Baltimore Normal School No. 3. It was the third normal school for teachers, created in Maryland. The first two were white, Towson and Frostburg. And then it became the Maryland Normal and Industrial School at Bowie. This was when it opened at Bowie in 1911. And after that, it became Maryland Teachers College, then Bowie State College in 1963. That's when they started offering a liberal arts education. And then in 1988, it joined the University System of Maryland and became a university.
That's Katie Hayes, an archivist with Bowie State University, here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Bowie State's history. Beatrice Payne was 14 when she left Baltimore County. Her uncle Elijah, her teacher, encouraged her and paid her first year's room and board. Beatrice took the train to Bowie. It was a sleepy rural town, and she shared her memories with us of the school's culture and top-notch teachers.
We had a glee club. We had the football team. We had everything that a normal high school would have. Going to Bowie was the first time that I had been away from home without the other members of my family. Life at Bowie was really very home-like. We were more like a family, and we had excellent teachers. I'm remembering, for instance, one teacher, Miss Josephine Brown. She was our English teacher. And you had to do everything as it was supposed to be done. If you were given a paper to write, you had to write that paper, and you made sure you checked it and punctuation marks and everything where they should be. She was an excellent teacher.
First of all, was it at that time, was it funded by the state?
Yes. The Baltimore Association disbanded in 1870, and the state took over support of the schools while it was still in Baltimore. And then the Joseph Cushing, who was a member of that group, had lobbied in the legislature to get the school to be opened in Bowie, for the state to actually purchase the land and create a more permanent institution.
Were teaching requirements different for African Americans than for white teachers?
Well, education for teachers wasn't as codified for them. And yes, it took a while. The school started out being a high school, as Beatrice said, and then it gradually evolved. The first four-year graduating class did not graduate till 1941. So standards were a little different. I think the school evolved more slowly, probably due to lack of real concrete support. There were many mentions in some of the documentation about deteriorating facilities. One of the original buildings burned down in 1922. There was a lot of change and growth going on, and I think it was a struggle.
Beatrice had already been teaching 25 years by 1954 when the U.S. Supreme Court issued its verdict in Brown v. Board of Education, declaring separate schools for blacks and whites unconstitutional. Mrs. Payne told us what she observed after Brown.
Well, first of all, the children that I had been teaching up at Sparks Elementary for 25 years went down to the integrated school. All except 12, and that whole year I taught 12 children. That's all I had. They had gone down to the integrated school. And then at the end of that year, that was when they closed the Spark School and sent me down to Fleming Elementary to teach special ed. And so I went there and worked with the special ed class. So I taught the special ed class down there for 2 years. And then they sent me to Towson Elementary, which was a 32-room school. And in that 32 rooms, there were 16 special ed classes. So I was administrative assistant and special ed supervisor.
How did Bowie change after Brown v. Board?
I don't have a lot of documentation on that level, although there are indications in some of the catalogs where they used to list graduates what their race was. It gradually became integrated. I think locally there were students that was the best option for them. And then, of course, in the 60s with the growth of the civil rights movement, there were a lot of white students that wanted to go to a black school to kind of further the cause of integration.
In going through the archives, is there a document or something that you came upon that really struck you as you're celebrating the 150th anniversary?
Oh, there's so many. We just got done organizing all the photographs, and we have some beautiful historic photographs. It's hard to pinpoint one thing. One of my favorite things that I first found early on was a commencement program in the shape of a fan. And it's the old kind of fan, which is a cutout piece of cardboard that's printed with the events of the commencement on it and a stick stapled onto the back of it. And that's because commencement was held outside, and it was, of course, very hot.
I appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Katie Hayes is an archivist at Bowie State University. Earlier, we heard from Bowie graduate Beatrice Payne, who is soon to celebrate her 106th birthday. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us on 88.1.